If you would look at Titus, it's not in your notes, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 is where we're going, but I get so excited. We're going to start with verse 11 because I love this. Titus 2:11. Jesus, you are like awesome here. Grace is God's working or God's ability. Philippians 2:13 defines the word grace. But let's just read this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, what about the people that live here or live there? What about the people that have never heard? The grace of God, the working, the ability of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, if you would, turn to John 3:16, if you would be so kind. Whew, Jesus. Wow. Say what? It's a new verse to you? Well, I thought we were supposed to go there. Just for you. For God so loved the world that He gave. I don't have one of these because I forgot to keep one. But I've got it in here. Oh, it's probably in my notes. That's right. It's in my notes. Okay. Here we go. This week you have homework. I would like to see your homework next week. I want you to hand it in. The homework is that first little section under tithes and giving. There's verses. And then at the end, it's got a question. What do each of these verses mean? Write your answers. Okay? You're being trained as a minister, right? Is that what God's call is on your life? God wants us, He wants to flow through us to others. All right, that's a minister, right? Okay. We don't pass a plate. We never have. I hope we never do. We ever do. It's because I felt like God wanted us to, but the reason we don't is because as I've preached all over America and as I've heard all kinds of things, people are used and manipulated and all that. But there are truths in the Word about giving, and this might be the third time in 6 years or something. And every now and then we might mention it somehow. I don't even know because it doesn't seem like we hardly ever do. Except when people bring it up or something when we're talking outside. But as far as a service or something, I think it's either the second or third time in 6 years that we've talked about this. But I don't even know why we're talking about this. I just asked God what He wanted and this is all I could think about. And I'm like, okay, Lord. So I want us to start with Genesis 14, verse 20. I want us to start at the top there, and we're going to work our way down. We're going to read these verses. But I want you to understand something. And that is that question, somewhere right up at the top of the questions, where it says, do we have our God's heart? God is all about giving. 2 Corinthians 3:17, which you'll find in there, says, God is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty is about giving. Liberty is about freedom. You watch the movie Braveheart, they're about to chop Mel Gibson's head off, and he yells, "Freedom!" He could have yelled, "Jesus!" Because the name Jesus means Savior, Deliverer, one who sets another free. Old Testament, Joshua. New Testament, Jesus. Same word, just different languages, but same meaning. Every time I meet somebody named Joshua, I ask them if they know what their name means, and then I talk to them, and it seems to do something in their life. It's just amazing. I mean, they're right there taking my money. I pay it for gas or something, and like, I tell them what their name means. Do you know what your name means? It's Joshua or Josh. And I go, "It's Joshua, right?" And they go, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know what your name means?" They go, "No." It means Savior, Deliverer, one who sets another free. It's the same name as Jesus. I said, "Do you know that you were named that on purpose? That's God's call on your life. You're supposed to deliver others." And just the look, it's like they all of a sudden realize their purpose in life. I mean, that's what I get when I talk to them. That's what I feel like God's telling me to tell them. And pretty amazing. I've hardly ever had something different happen when I'm talking to somebody about that. But do we have our God's heart? Genesis 14:20. Somebody want to read that out loud, Glenn? Okay, I'm glad you volunteered. You can go and read all these, and I'm going to comment as the Lord leads. It's talking about Abram when he came back from having fought and was met by a priest of God, and he gave him tithes. Look in chapter 28, verse 22. The word tithe means tenth, a tenth part, okay, a fraction. Genesis 28, 22. Somebody want to read that out loud? Yes, go ahead. I know you do. I can see it.
"And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, when I will strictly give the temple."
Okay. "I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Look at Deuteronomy 8:18, please. Mr. Bausma, would you like to read that? And just wait till you quit hearing the leaves flapping in the wind. And somebody else would like to get Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. I love all of these. Deuteronomy 8:18.
"But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day."
I like the way you read, Tom. I always like the way you read. I like your voice. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." It is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. You want to put notes next to verses, that's what I would put. It is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Okay, next verse, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Would you like to read that out loud? Kate, I can see you reading it. Go ahead. One of the questions down there is, do you honor God? See, a lot of people say, have you ever met people that say, "I love God," but you wonder, how can that be? Not trying to judge them, not trying to be mean, but it's like, what do you mean you love God? When I look at your life, if you were put on trial for your Christianity, there's not enough evidence to convict you. You know, it's like, if a guy tells a woman, it's like I used to tell the teenagers when we did youth group. I said, "Girls, Love gives and lust takes. If a guy says, I love you, and then tries to take from you, he's lying. Okay? And I said, guys, you ought to be honest and tell the girls, I lust you. I just want to take from you. I don't care about you. I just want to take from you. Does that make it clear? Love gives. God is our example. God is our daddy. Okay? For God so loved that He gave. See, love can't help but give. I have to be real careful telling Sue anything I want. Of course, vice versa. But, like with my wife, if I ever say, I want something, or, man, I sure would like to do something, next thing I know, she's doing everything she can to try to make it happen and give me what I want. Why? Because she loves me. Love gives. Love has a focus, remember? Love is others-minded. Okay? And in this passage it says, honor the Lord with thy substance. We're going to talk about finances. If you go through all this, it'll open your eyes to a whole lot of things. And I'm just reading verses today. And if something sticks out to you and you want to comment, just raise your hand, whatever. But I want you to notice, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. I remember when I got saved as a drug dealer and got in church, and Sue and I weren't married yet. And Sue said, we got this money. She actually got money. And I'm thinking, man, what we could do with this money. We could buy a carton of cigarettes. And it was 1977. Hadn't quit smoking yet. It was about, April to, I quit smoking in August. So this is April, and I'm like, we could get a carton of cigarettes, and we could do this, we could do that. She said, well, the first thing we got to do is tithe. I had never heard of it in my life. All the time that I went to church when I was growing up, my dad would hand me either a quarter or a dollar when we go into the church. And of course, unless he caught me, it left with me. But if I'm just telling you the truth, what do I want to do? Like cover it up, make myself look good? Like, why don't we get honest? The depth of our honesty determines the depth of our freedom. Okay? Now, you ready? So they passed the plate. I remember sitting in this one church with, you know, cathedral ceiling and all that, and hear a pin drop and all that stuff. And they'd pass the plate, and my brother and I would drop our quarter in, whatever. I didn't know what tithe was. Nobody ever talked about tithe in my house. I mean, if somebody put $5 in, it was like we were going to talk about it for a while. You know, it was a big thing. And I've noticed that when people don't tithe, they want to tell you all the time about what they do about helping other people. When people don't tithe. Okay? When people do tithe, I find that it's like they're trusting God and they've committed it unto God. I don't hear them normally talking about what all they do. But I want you to notice it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. So Sue said, first thing we got to do is we got to tithe. I said, what's that? And she said, you know, give to the church. And I said, Sue, I said, we're so poor. I said, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. You know, I said, how in the daylights, sorry, that's why I had to give Glenn some change on the trip because he was having a hard time paying attention. I said, now you're not too broke to pay attention, okay? So anyway, he wanted to give me the change back. I said, no, I want you to pay attention, okay? So anyway, Sue said, we need to tithe. I'm like, what's that? So she starts showing me verses in the Bible. Surely I will give a tenth to the verses that we were looking at. We hadn't gotten to one yet, Malachi 3:10. And I, after seeing a few verses, I had already been saved 6 months, 7 months before, whatever it was. And let's see, this would have been April, so I'd have been saved about 10 months or so. And I said, okay. I said, if the Bible says it, I said, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. I said, we're poor and all those people drive nice cars, have nice suits, and, you know, got jobs and rings and all this stuff. And I said, I don't understand, but if that's what the Bible says, we'll do it. It doesn't make sense to me, but we'll do it. So we started tithing then. And then I got a job the day after, let's see, we got married on a Saturday. I got a job started on Monday. And when I started getting this, I was making a whopping $3 an hour. And I would bring home like $93 and change a week, you know, after taxes and whatever the government does. And so my tithe was $9.36 one week. And the next week I would round up and it would be $9.37 because whatever it was, I was a penny, I'm still a penny pincher, you know. Sue sometimes says to me, Harvey, you got money. You don't got to write on envelopes. So I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm a penny pincher and that's just how I am. You know, I'd rather have money to give to other people. I don't care about all that stuff. So, one day I heard Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 about honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And that means you tithe off the gross, not off the net. You tithe off what you make, not off what you get after they take everything out. It's not God's fault. Okay? See, we're supposed to put God first. Maybe what we ought to do is what comes out of our check, we ought to just have them do it at work. Here, my first thing I want, my first deduction is my tithe, and I want you to send it to Burning Bush or wherever God wants you to send it. If you're here, that's where He wants you to send it. But I'm just trying to say that that's what we're supposed to do, is honor God. God's number one, right? Okay. You are my King. You know what is so neat? Is you folks, I've told you this, and I keep telling you this, but I can't get over it. Not like I'm trying. But you folks are like the most awesome folks. I have been saved for 35 years and prayed for people that would honor God with their lives, their choices, and not just give lip service, and not just say, I love you, and then where is it evident? Because God's not wanting us to just live in our emotions. He's wanting us to live in the Spirit. But many Christians, as far as they get, has ever become emotional. They want to live out of their heart. God wants us to live out of the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So anyway, I remember that morning the preacher preached and taught about you need to tithe off your gross instead of your net. But we had four kids, and I'm trying to tithe, and I'm already having a hard time giving $9.35 or 36 cents, whatever it was, each week. And then now he's telling me I got to give $12 a week. I mean, and that was my whole income with four kids. And I said, well, we aren't making it anyway. Finally, I settled. I said, well, we're not making it anyway at $9.36. We're going to start giving $12 a week because that's what the Bible says. And God just started blessing us. And we were in a church that was pretty well off. Everybody worked, we were on the other side of the state, and everybody worked at GM or Ford or Chrysler or something like that or whatever. And everybody was pretty well off in our church. We were, I'm not going to say a wealthy church, but a pretty well off church. And my preacher said to me a number of times, and we were like one of the poorest families in the church, and he said to me, Harvey, he said, percentage-wise, you give more than anybody, he told Sue and I. And he said, and you are more blessed than anybody in this church. He said, it's just amazing how blessed you are. And it's not us. You understand? It's God. God's way always works. Remember, 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. It's like God has a way. And when we yield to His Lordship, Romans 6 talks about yielding. You see, we sing a song, I surrender all. When you surrender, it means you've been in a fight and now you give up. We're not supposed to surrender. God bless you. I mean, if you need to surrender, because if you're arguing with God, then you need to surrender. But then we need to learn to yield, and yield means to give the right away. Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's surrendering to the Lordship. So let's keep reading. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord. If Janiah told her kids something to do. Like she said, I want you, Jackson, to set the table, for example, for a dinner. And he went and said, okay. And he went and put forks around. Did he help set the table? Did he finish setting the table? But he said, that's what I'm giving you. She said, well, let's go in the bedroom. I'll show you what I'm going to give you. You know? My point is that it's honoring the Lord. You see, when you go, one of the things that we need to teach our kids that a lot of people haven't been taught is you teach them. You say, Jackson, here's what you do. And you tell them how to set the table. And then you say, even when you think you've got it, you keep coming back to the one who gave you directions and asking them, what else can I do? What else can I do? What else? You don't just give lip service, say, if you need me, let me know. See, if somebody gets hurt here, we don't want to just say, well, if you need me, Nate, I know your mom didn't die, but okay, Nate, your mom died. I'm really sorry, Nate. I love you. If there's anything I could do, let me know. Is that what he needs? Or does he need us to come and bring him food? Does he need to ask? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you think he might need some finances, like if he had to travel somewhere, you know, was missing some work? Do we have to make them beg or something? Or what is God's heart? God's all about giving. See, God is others-minded. God is about meeting others' needs. Okay? So, I just want us to get God's heart on this. God's heart is about giving. God's heart is about others. God's heart is about, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The kids just memorized that verse recently. Okay, upstairs. So Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Is what I'm doing in the way of giving, is it honoring the Lord? Or am I just doing enough because it's my duty? See, I want to do it so it blesses God's heart. Don't you want to bless His heart? Doesn't He bless yours? Okay. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Preacher, you left preaching and gone to meddling. Don't read this passage, preacher. Or hurry up and get past it. Don't stay there a while. Proverbs 3, 8 through 10. Somebody want to... No, I think I'm going to read this one. Is it? It's actually 8 through 10. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. That's okay. We're going to work with you. It's okay. Don't you have to worry about it. I'm so glad I need it. Will a man rob God? What? Rob God? But God says, yet ye have robbed me. And we say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. Tithe is 10%. Of whatever we receive, okay? Whatever we receive, you honor God with 10%. You see, part of honoring God or tithing is you trusting God. In James it says, faith without works is dead. You say that you have faith without works, but I have faith with works. Show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, we have a saying. Y'all ever heard this saying, put your money where your mouth is? Anybody? You want me to say it again so you can say you've heard it? Okay, here we go. Here's the thought. We could say we love God. We could say we honor Him. But when our actions follow our words, then we're not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is one who says and does not. Tithes is what we... It's what God requires right from the get-go. That's minimum. Tithe, you get paid, you get an inheritance, you get money back. Well, the way we do it is we don't do it that way. But anyway, whatever. If you any kind of income, you tithe on that. Okay? That's 10% right off the top, before taxes, all that stuff. Okay? After that, God moves on you because you got a tender heart, because you've given your heart to God. Jesus, you are my King. And it's like He says, okay, and I'm so glad you're one of my servants. I'm so glad you want to be my son. Do you see this person that has a need? I want you to reach out and I want to bless them through you. God works through people. He flows through people. We co-laborers together with Him. Wherein have we robbed Thee, God? In tithes and offerings. Then God says, ye are cursed with a curse. Right after He said, we've robbed Him. He says, for you have, the reason you're cursed, because you have robbed Me, even this whole nation. Now watch, verse 10. God says, let's make it real clear. I'm going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in Mine house. People through the years, I've heard say, well, it doesn't say you have to take it to the church. I said, well, what do you think Mine house is? If you took it somewhere else and they had control, it wouldn't be meat in His house. It's real simple, but it's a matter of, are you wanting to see what the Word says, or do you have your own ideas and trying to make the Word say what you want so you can do what you want? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in Mine house. And God says, now prove Me now herewith. Prove Me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He said, I am going to back... He said, when you tithe, just tithing. He said, I'm going to back my holy dump truck up and I'm going to dump out a blessing on you. You couldn't get out from under it if you tried. If I asked for testimonies on tithing, I know that there would be people that would give all that, and we could do that at one time. But I want you to turn to Matthew 23:23, because a number of times through the years, I've heard people say, well, tithing is all Old Testament. I say, yes, sir? Oh, yeah. I can't read every verse, and I'm going to have a hard enough time going through all of them as it is. But if you take and you look these up, that's why I was like, God, you want me to just read the first few in the section and preach on that and do that? And He said, no, I want to go through and read these verses. He said, I want you to write it down so that they have it, so that you can go home and study it. Okay? You can go home and see what you want. But see, Tom, anywhere along the line, people could stop. They can read as much or as little as they want. Okay? But I really appreciate that, Tom, because I know, man, and there's other verses too, and I want to go all there, but it's like, God's like, nope. Matthew 23:23. Somebody want to read that out loud? Tom?
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Okay, watch. These ought ye to have done, judgment, mercy, and faith, and not to leave the other, tithing, mint, anise, and cumin. And I don't have time to go through explaining all that, except to say this. He's like, yes, these are what's really important, the weightier matters, the bigger things, or as the Catholics would call it, the cardinal sins or something, and the venial sins. You know, there's like little sins and then big sins. Okay? Well, the big sins, if we didn't do them, are judgment, mercy, and faith. Like faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Mercy, the opposite of that is judgment. God doesn't want us to judge people. He wants us to have mercy. The judgment He's talking about here is discernment. Okay? Between what's right and wrong. Okay? But what He's saying is, Jesus is saying, okay, you tithe, even down to the littlest herbs, your spices, you even tithe on your spices. And He said, you ought to do that. But these big things, He says, these big things you ought to do. He said, but even those little things, you're supposed to do and not leave them undone. See, God, He put a stamp of approval on it. He didn't do away with tithing. The Old, New Testament did not do away with the Old Testament. The New Testament is just like, let's go on from here. that grow up from here. Before, you knew about the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. There's more of a requirement. See what I'm saying? You're growing up. That's what the New Testament's about. Okay? Mark 12, 41 to 44. One of you guys want to read that? Mark 12, 41 to 44. Widow.
Widow. And she threw it 2 months. Which mitigated part of it. And he called unto him, and his disciples and said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, she did of her
He says these other guys came and they were rich and they may have given more as far as a numerical amount. He said, but in the eyes of God, this woman gave more because she gave from her heart, not just giving out of duty, not just doing what she had to do, but she said, this is all I have. See, that's what this whole thing is about. There's a whole lot of things it's about, but one of them is He our Lord? Is He our love? Do we want to give? And see, that's what's in my heart. I want to give. Okay? But it's like because as I've embraced Him, because in the beginning, I didn't want to give because I only looked at my need. I didn't look at other people's needs. And so I was like self-focused. But the longer I hang out with God, who's others-minded, I become more others-minded. It makes me want to give. Okay? And as you tithe, and trust God with your finances. Number one, you're telling God that you love Him. You're trusting Him. But number two, God, you have now entered into God's way, which is blessed. And then God begins to bless you. And as He begins to bless you with finances, you're able to do things for other people that you couldn't do before. Okay? Because God's blessing is on it. So He gives you more. Luke 6:38. I'll tell you what. You go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 16, 1-2. But you better turn to Luke 6:38 first. I'm sorry. Luke 6:38, because that is, we can't pass that. I'm telling you. You want to read that, one of you? You have it? I thought you did.
Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto you room, for which the same measure that ye met with all, it shall be measured to you again.
Here's what God's saying. If you give, see, God works through people. God just doesn't materialize money through the air. Where were we on this trip, Glenn? And we were talking about a money tree, that they had trees that grew money or something. And we talked about, you know, importing those trees. You know, they'd have to have armed guards standing there, you know, if those trees. Well, that's not the way it works. God works through people. When we do things within God's way, God turns around and blesses. For example, when when I tithe, one of the things that God has done for me through the years is that God has made the things that I have last longer. Like my tires. I don't know why, but my tires will last way longer. And I watch other guys buy new tires, and they have all these problems, and I don't. Yes, sir?
That's what Malachi 3:11 talks
about. Right. Right, exactly. That's why don't just look at the verses we gave you. Go ahead and look at those. But if you read the whole context in every one of them, I just don't have time to read all of them. That's what it talks about. Okay, and you'll read and you'll just see how God, like, you know, when I say God is, I just told somebody this at the bank the other day. I said something like, God bless you, have a good day or something. And she goes, well, God bless you or whatever she said. You have a good day. And I said, ma'am, I'm going to receive that as a gift. I said, but I want you to have double because I've learned the secret. And I just remember because the lady was at the bank. I mean, I say this a lot, but this one lady's at the bank and she goes, you know, If I didn't have to compete with that, it would be really cool. I can get louder than him, but I have a hard time with that bang, 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 bang. But whatever. Anyway, here we go. So the person at the bank, the lady at the bank goes, well, what's the secret? I said, ma'am, the secret is you count out and give God. Whenever you enter into a God consciousness and you're willing to give or to want good for somebody else and you desire that for somebody, God is like, you have a God consciousness. You're trying to give. Well, I'm God and you're not going to outgive me. And I said, and then He's going to bless your socks off. I said, because you're giving and God won't be outdone. So He, because you have a consciousness for Him, you are making choices from His point of view, His realm, which is giving, instead of being like many people in this earth and being selfish and self-focused and self-protection. God's like, I'm going to bless you. And that lady just has got this biggest smile and goes, wow. And it was like just so cool. I love sharing that with people. But that's what this verse is talking about. When you give, God is going to move on other people that they're going to end up doing and giving for you in ways you're going to get things back that you can't even imagine. You're like, why did that happen? It's because you trusted God. And God said, look, I'm going to bless you because you trusted me. And the same way you measure, it says, with whatever measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. If you give a little bit, God will give you back a little bit. He'll always give more, but He'll give back a little bit. If you give all, He's like, dude, I'm going to bless your socks off. And He just like, and then after He blessed your socks off, He says, now sit down, put the socks back on, because I'm going to bless them off again. Because God won't be outdone. Because He is all about giving, and He's others-minded, and He loves you. Okay? All right. What's the next verse we were going to? 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. You want to read that? Who would like to read that? You already turned there. Go ahead. You're doing good. He's talking to the churches, the same directions I gave the churches over in this other area called Galatia. He said, I want you to do the same. On the first day of the week, New Testament believers gathered on the first day of the week. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. We went from Sabbath, which is under the law, to now to the first day, which is the day of resurrection, or Sunday. I think that's pretty cool. And they just misspell it. It's supposed to be S-O-N-D-A-Y. Okay. And He says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by Him in store. We give as we receive. We turn around and give that. Okay. Now, look at the... So what I want you to do is I want you... Oh, we got one more verse. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So you've got these verses. And I would like you this week to take those and then answer these questions. This is between you and God. I want you to answer the questions, but I'd like you to turn them in, okay? So it's homework. Anybody not get that? Homework? Anybody not get that? Okay. Everybody got that? All right, good, good. All right. Morg, say what? Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, let's go back to the gold star system. I still got those in my Bible. Okay. Genesis 26:12. Turn to the next one. Let's see if we can read through these kind of quickly, okay? Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him because he trusted God and he tithed. Genesis 30:27. And Laban said unto him, which was his father-in-law, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry or wait. For I have learned by experience. Now watch this. Here's an unbeliever talking to a believer. And he says, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for your sake. The Lord hath blessed me because you're in my life. You're in my employment. And God has blessed me and my business because you are here. Okay? Verse 30 in that same chapter. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also? He said, when I came here, I had nothing, but I trusted God with the little I had, and God blessed it, and now I have more than you, and you're my employer. Which was why they were having the conversation. 32:10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. That's a continuation of where he was, talking about the same one that God had blessed him. He said, I had nothing when I came to this country. Now 20 years later when I'm leaving, he said, I'm two bands of people. I'm not just one, but I'm two bands, because there were so many, they had to be separated, you know, to be controlled, whatever. 33:11. That's what we need, is two bands, right? Yeah, we need to break into two bands. Okay. Take, I pray thee, yeah, it's just a word, you know. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee. Oh, please, look at this. Have you ever tried to give somebody something and they won't receive it? You try to give and they go, no, no. It's because of pride. God's economy is about what?
Giving.
What else? How about humility? Is God's economy about pride? Does He want pride? Okay. But watch. You try to give to somebody. No, no, I don't want to. And God's had me say basically this verse to them. Look, Jesus is wanting to give you something. He's just doing it through me. Would you please receive it? With both hands, right? Okay. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee. How did that happen? All of a sudden the verse went away. I'll tell you in a second when I get there. Somebody want to read it? It's 33:11 maybe? Genesis 33:11. Lord, I don't want to say what you don't want me to say. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, in other words, we're supposed to tithe off everything, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. In other words, the first tenth of anything you make is holy. It's separated. It's sanctified. It's holy unto God. Verse 31, and if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Put that in words. Say some words, Janiah. Put that in words. Come on, say the words. Put that in your own words. Lord, how would I put that in my own words? A fifth, which is 20. Okay, watch this. It's not that God's up there, you know, He does count every penny and everything, but it's not like He's up there trying to like catch you or something. It's like God is wanting to bless you. His way always works. It's like I told you, one day I was asking God, please bless this, please bless that. I was praying for a bunch of people. I had a whole list, and I was praying for a bunch of people. And God said, Harvey, do you want to get blessed? And I said, yes. He said, why don't you forget what you're doing? Find out what I'm doing. It's already blessed. And then you choose to get in on what I'm doing, instead of trying to get me to come bless what you're doing. Do you get it? See, we want God to come bless what we're doing. Who's God here? Not me. Isn't his name Jehovah? Isn't his name King Jesus? Isn't his name God? See, he's the one. And what we need to do is realize we're the servants. He's not our little genie on a string, you know, or on a chain. We're trying to get him to come bless what we're doing and give us. God is going to give because he can't help it. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave when we weren't even looking, when we weren't doing anything. What we deserved, he got. What this is saying is, if you realize, hey, like, if you didn't tithe and you were supposed to, like, let's say that, trying to think of an example of my life where I was a bad boy. Let's see. Yes, sir.
You talk about
redeeming it. Go ahead.
There's another verse that I can't find right now. It's somewhere in the Leviticus. It says if you weren't, you know, you redeem it, you got 2 years to pay the tithe and redeem. So if somebody needs their
right.
Tithe, but you got to add a fifth to it if you want to use it for something else, but you've still got some time to, you know, you got to pay it back anyway.
But that's because he's gracious and he'll let us do it and he gives us liberty. Go ahead, babe. Yes. Right. Correct. Wow. I could sit down. She just preached the whole sermon. Serious. Right. We have lived it. Yeah. 20%. Yes, sir. Okay. Right. And yet, if somebody is at, see, everybody's at a different level. And if somebody is at that level, and he has not come to that trust level of trusting God and saying, I'm going to go ahead and do it, he's following the law and doing right by God, God's going to bless him. It's just what she's talking about is to get blessed more. You always put God first above your bills. That's why it's first fruits. That's why it says honor the Lord. But you see, it's like often it's because there's just something we want or something like that. But if we do that, then God makes a provision because God gives us a free will. Remember the saying, God limits himself by giving us a free will? Okay? It's not that he changes anything. It's not that he winks at sin. It's not any of that. It's that he allows us. Like when Matthew 19, the Pharisees came to Jesus about divorce. And Jesus explained it and said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. So if we're willful outside of God's perfect will, if you look in Romans chapter 12, it's verse 1 or 2, where it says, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will. Sue's talking about that. You're talking about an acceptable will. Okay? Yes, what he allows.
I can't even say that. We have to come to a place where it's not acceptable because
right.
Even the mark of the beast is going to be about money.
Right. That's right. 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 Because the final test comes down. Are we going to serve the Almighty or the Almighty Dollar? Who are we going to trust?
And
Right. Right. And that root verse, I believe, is like 1 Timothy 6:10, I believe. Or 6:12. Anyway, somewhere right in there. I'll find it for you later if you want. But Sue's making a very valid point, is because he wants us to trust him. That's why one of the questions is, do I trust God? Or am I trust of my own understanding? We've talked about that. Laying down our understanding. Because when we have to understand something, that's a form of control. Because we won't move until we understand. And God wants us to be willing to move whenever He says, not when we understand. Numbers 18:21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi, he's talking about the ministers, all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now you know that my wife and I don't ever take a penny. So I'm not talking for me. I'm talking to you about principle here. Okay? What the Word teaches. That's why when it's given, one of the things that money does, yes, it's to help the widows. It's to help the afflicted. It's to pay the heat and the lights. But it's also to take care of and provide for the ministers. That's what it's supposed to be. Okay? We don't do that here because that's not how God has my wife and I do it. Okay? But that's what's supposed to be done. Letting you know. Oh, were we in verse 24? But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering of the Lord, I have given to the Levites, the ministers, to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. God wants to be their inheritance. Verse 26. Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you ministers shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. I know ministers that they get their money each week and they don't tithe on it. They say, I don't need to tithe. And it's like, I'm sorry? Where are you trusting God? You're not trusting God. That's what the Word is teaching, that we're all supposed to do this. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of dependence. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods. Upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. He said everybody has a place to worship. When we were driving back, we saw a lot of bars. A lot of people in there worshiping. Okay? We see people going to sports events. Nothing wrong with sports events, but a lot of people, that's what they worship. That's what's number one in their life. Everybody, it doesn't matter what people group throughout the world, everybody worships something. Okay? That's their God. What's number one? Dictionary definition, simple. Simplified. Verse 3. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. In other words, he says, I don't want you building graven images and stuff. That's not what we're supposed to do. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose. Huh, sounds like 1 Corinthians 12:9. But the Lord how's that verse go? How's that verse go? 12:18. We're supposed to, anyway, where we go to church. That's what this verse reminded me of. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation shall ye seek. And thither, or there, thou shalt come. Now watch verse 6. And there ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Sometimes people say, well, I tithe, but I tithe by, I look for people that have needs and I give it. Well, who gets the praise? You or them. whenever God has us give, something we've taught here that God showed me a long time ago. I don't know if I heard it taught in church, maybe I did, but it's something that God showed me and I've had peace with ever since. If Tana has a need and God shows it to my wife and I and their family has a need and God moves on us to give, then what I want to do is I don't want to go and give them that money because then they're thanking me, oh, you're a good person, blah, blah, blah. So what we do is we give it to the church and designate it to Tana. Now, this is offerings. This is above your tithe. You don't designate your tithe. Tithe goes in. That's what we owe. We do that every week. Blah, blah, blah. As God prospers us, if you get paid once a month, you do it once a month. Whatever. Okay? Now, we turn around. Tana has a need. Like my folks. Take Steve's mom. Steve's mom had a need. Steve's heard us teach this. He's been with us for a number of years. So his mom had a need. So what Steve did was he gave above his tithe and he said, I would like to designate whatever it was, a few $100, whatever it was, I don't remember, to my mom. And Bernie Bush wrote a check out and sent a check to his mom. And his mom, who's now she going to praise? She's going to praise God. Her son didn't just come to it, oh, you're a good son, you're not like my other son, you know, or something. She's not praising him and thanking him. She's now gotten to praise God because it came through God's house. Somebody recently came to me and said, I feel like that God wants me to give a chunk of money to somebody, a widow. And I said, okay. And he said, well, I tried to give it through her church, and they said I can't give it that way. Or I don't remember how he said he exactly did it. I said, here's what we teach. And I taught him what I just told you. He wrote out a check for $10,000 to Bernie Bush. Bernie Bush wrote out a check for $10,000 to the widow. She gets this check in the mail. She's never even heard of Bernie Bush. She writes me this beautiful letter, you know, to our church, praising God. Thanking God for God being in us. And by the way, when he gave the $10,000, I didn't take tithe out of it and then give her a check for $9,000. There's not handling charges here. We're not whatever those, you know, places are that do that, you know, UNICEF or whatever all those places are that tell you, you know, the what's that one? That big one? United Way. They get 100%. You give it. You designate it. We give the whole thing. See, we're kind of lazy sometimes, you know. We don't follow through. And that's what we need to do is we need to follow through. We need to do what makes for peace. Colossians 3:15, you need to live every minute of every day. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Romans 14:26. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. The principle is, when in doubt, don't. But I kept having doubt, but I didn't have time to deal with it. It's an excuse, you know, like a screen door in a submarine. It doesn't float. Okay. So, please forgive me. So, verse 6. And there, the place that you worship your God, is where you're supposed to bring your tithes. Verse 7, and there you shall eat before the Lord your God. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God. You shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man doing whatsoever is right in his own eyes. That's not God's way, to do what's right in your own eyes. It's to do what God would say. Okay. Chapter 14, verse 23. Would somebody like to read that? And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn and of thy wine and of thine oil and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks. In other words, your tithe on everything. That thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. See, God has a purpose in everything that we do. Part of that is for us to learn to fear Him. Deuteronomy 15, 11 through 14. Somebody want to read that time?
For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free.
Let him go free! Go ahead. Don't send him out empty.
Thou shalt furnish him liberally.
Liberally.
And out of thy floor and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee.
Wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee.
Thou shalt give unto him.
Those were just the places that were highlighted in mine. Help you. Something like that. 1 Chronicles 29. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? You know I have a business. God amazes me how He just keeps blessing us. And I say this, God, who am I and who is Sue that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of Thee and of Thine own have we given Thee. Do you understand? God doesn't want a tenth. Do you understand? God wants 100%. Do you understand that the only reason you have anything is because of Him? If not, I will take you to a whole bunch of people and let you see who don't do it God's way and let you see how they live and what they struggle with and how they call us all the time and want us to do all kinds of things for them. And we watch their lives for 20 years constantly, will not submit to God, will not do things God's way, but they're constantly, their lives just keep going. It's like, I'm sorry, but it's like watching them go down a toilet. And they won't do it God's way. And meanwhile, God is like blessing us. And people call me in my business and they'll say, how are you doing? And often I'll say, if you can imagine a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs with hyperactive children in the chairs, I'm the cat. I said, that's how busy I am. Anybody that's around me, when I was in Israel last year and I called Glenn from Israel and said, he was answering my phone. I said, how you doing with my business, Glenn? And he goes, brother, my hat's off to you. I can't believe you could do this like all the time. He's like, I can't wait for you to get home and get this off my back. You know, it's like just so many calls and so many things to do. And I tell people, I'm blessed. And they'll say, man, you're lucky. Man, you're all these words that they say to me. And I say, it's not me. I said, I don't deserve what I have. I said, Jesus got what I deserve. And then He turns around and gives me what He deserves. See, I get blessed as if I was Jesus. But it's because the more I come into agreement with His Word, the more I come into agreement and cooperation and what do you call that where an overlay or overlap, you know, and you get it lined up and it's, you can't see the outline of the other one. You know what I'm talking about? Well, the more we come in line with God, see, His way is blessed. And it's not His version of our way. He doesn't bless our version because our version is a perversion because flesh is touching it and we're corrupting His way. That's why we're not into religion. It's a real relationship. John 10, 5 times, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. It's yielding. It's not trying to get him, you know, manipulate him, say or do things, whatever, to try to get him to bless what you're doing. As we do things his way, just simply tithing is going to start blessing you financially beyond what you can imagine. Whew. Sorry, I just get so excited. I wish I could just tell you, and I'm not sure that I'm supposed to. So I just am so blessed. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store, all this stuff that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name, you gave it to us. It cometh of thine hand. Do you know what a steward is? Okay, I'll give you my definition. A steward is if I entrusted Dudley with something, I said, Dudley, this is mine, but I'm giving it to you. Like a foreman is a steward. It's not his business. He's just an employee. But they're entrusting him over other people. They're entrusting him with their business to run right. A manager in a store. Her son working at Little John's or whatever it's called. Something John's. What is it? Jimmy John's. Okay. Can't make up their mind. Whatever. Okay. It's like I entrust him with something. Now he's the steward of what I gave him. He gets to determine and control. If he's a good steward, I'm going to bless him. If he wastes what I gave him, he doesn't use it right, he makes my business go down, I'm taking it away from him. We are stewards. In the beginning, God trusts us with whatever it is we have and says, now, he didn't give it an amount how to give. He said a percentage. Because if you make $100 a week or you make $1,000 a week, either way it's equal because it's 10%. Do you understand? God is making us stewards. But it's all God's. It's not ours. It's all God's. Doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, doesn't it say something? Somebody want to read that? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It says, for you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. Are you the master of your life? Are you? Are you the Lord of your life? We, just like every other person on this planet, sold ourselves into sin. We sold ourselves to the devil. Many of us got shortchanged. But Jesus came when we were useless on the slave lot, not even going to bring a very good price at all. Jesus came and laid His life down and bought us for Himself. But He's not a hard taskmaster. But He paid the price for us. He owns us. He owns us. But He's not like anybody else because He gives us a free will. And He allows us a lot of liberty, like what Lloyd was talking about earlier. I understand what Lloyd's saying, but I couldn't do that because I've already gone beyond that and I can see that's not really how God wants. But if that's where the level that Lloyd's at, it's okay. Because he's still trying to obey the Word. God will take him further. God will mature him further. God will deepen his trust in God. But God gives us a lot of liberty. He's not a hard taskmaster. Now, if we're living under the law, if we're only living under the Old Testament, you've got a hard taskmaster. And you'll never be able to live up to that. The law, Galatians 3:26 says, was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was there to keep us from hurting one another and to show us our need for God because nobody could keep the law except God Himself. That's why we needed Jesus. This is all about Him owning us. Him owning us. Him trusting us. I want to read one verse and we'll be done if we can. I believe it's in Mark. Or is it Matthew? Maybe it's Luke, I don't know. I'll be there in a second. Here it is. Luke 16:10. Would you just look at Luke 16:10 and then we'll be done? Just Luke 16:10. He that is faithful, faithful in that which is least, he'll also be faithful in much. And he that is unjust, doesn't do right in the least, he won't do right with the much. Have you ever heard anybody say, if I could just win the lottery, I'd get half of it to God? Have you ever heard that? I've heard that, like, I can't even tell you how many times. Have you ever heard it come out of your mouth before?
Yeah.
I know. Thanks for being honest. You're going to get delivered. Okay. Serious. Guess what? If we won't even tithe off our $100 check, it's a lie. It's a deception to think that we would give half. Whatever you give now is what you would give. I like when it starts off, he that is faithful. He that is faithful. He that is faithful. He that is faithful. There's a whole lot of things I'd like to say, but we're going to stop there. We don't ever pass a plate, and almost everybody in this church tithes and always has. The ones that stayed do. And I've watched God bless. There's more that God, there's degrees and layers, because there's other things like being accountable with your budget. It helps, because none of us know everything. I was like the dumbest person on a budget, and my wife was so smart on it. So I just kept telling her, here, you do it. Well, there came a point where God said, Sue, I don't want you to do it anymore. I want Harvey to do it. And boy, I fought and kicked and didn't want to hear that and tried everything I could. And finally, we just came down. We went from a statewide business making, I don't know, $5,000 a week or something, to nothing. Zero. We lost our house. We had Steve, you know, when we were losing our house, he's like, let me pay all your back things. I'm like, Steve, don't do it. This is God. He's like, no, please, let me help you. Because Steve loved us. And Steve had the heart of God. And so Steve gave, I think it was like $4,000, if I remember correctly. And then later when we got money, it was years later, 5 years later or whatever it was, we paid him back. Because, see, I didn't just take that. I wanted to give it back. Because I knew God would bless. I knew that would be God's heart. God's never about taking. Okay? But Steve was trying to help us when we were in the midst of God doing a work on my thick head and hide. What I'm saying is, God has got a plan for us, and God wants to bless us. And don't you understand that there's so many people? Don't you know what's coming? All hell's getting ready to break loose. I mean, when you have a president that hates the country and has done everything he can, done more than any one man in all history to destroy this country in so short a time. Folks, how is God going to be able to give through us? How is God going to be able to Jesus through us, give through us, God through us? Is He going to be able to mightily flow through you because He can trust you, you're faithful in little, make you ruler over much? Is He going to be able to mightily flow? Or just be able to trickle? Or are you going to be one of those that has to keep being helped? God is preparing a people here. God's got a plan. And His plan always works. And God is always about others. And God is always about giving. And I want to have His heart. And I'm laying on the floor. And they're doing worship. And one of the songs, I think Spencer started singing. And I heard, he goes something like, Jesus, You are my King. I heard one voice. Then he said, Jesus, You are my King. And I heard two voices. Then he said, Jesus, You are my King. And I heard three or four voices. Jesus, You are my King. And it was like, I'm hearing all of you. And God's like, doesn't that just bless you? Or don't you just love these people? And I'm like, I sure do. And I got saved as a drug dealer, I keep telling you. And I got in church and I saw all these people wearing nice clothes and saying they loved God. But as time went on, what they meant by loving God isn't what I found the Scripture to be teaching. They said they loved me, but 10 years later they had never invited us over to their house. They had never had anything to do with me except on Sunday when they acted all warm and gushy with a big smile. I don't need that. It didn't meet any of my need. It didn't help. It didn't minister. There was no God flow. It was all just flesh flow, making themselves feel good. Do you understand? I love you. I am so thrilled with you. I wouldn't take anybody for you. I love you. Thank you so much for being in my life. Y'all are just like incredible. I love it. It's so cool. Many of you give testimony of that as you've come from other churches and said, man, never been around people like this. I love it. Thank you for living Jesus. Lord, I just commit these words into your hands. I feel so inadequate. But I love your word. I love the teachings of your word. I love all these verses that you were giving me. And Lord, I thank you. But I know you wanted this put out today. And it wasn't like one of those where we get all excited and jump around and stuff. But Lord, it was definitely you. And I'm asking that you would help us to receive it like a breath of fresh air. And we would just allow you to teach us and to bring us into your way so we could be in oneness with you in this area and every area, how it affects us, because this affects our whole lives and our whole attitudes and our whole mindsets and how we treat others, whether it's loving them and serving them and meeting their needs or whether it's judging or just being self-focused. And I just say thank you that you are so complete. Thank you how your word completes me. Lord, I commit each one here into your hands and ask that you today, Father, would just lay your hand upon them and draw them unto yourself, unto your breast, and bless each one as if they were Jesus himself. Thank you, Father. Amen.